there's no one to guide me. Jesus comes and he says, my child, hold on.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. What an incredible message behind the song. Only God Almighty can take a nobody and make a somebody out of them. Boy, I tell you one thing, before salvation, that's what we were, a big fat zero. Just nobody. Boy, I'm telling you, when we found Christ, we became somebody. And by the way, do you know anybody can become somebody? All you got to do is want to be saved. All you got to want to do is follow Christ. And what a blessed thing that it is. Well, church, I hope you've enjoyed being at church today. I thoroughly enjoyed spending time around you today and having a little time together and fellowship and preaching and singing. And boy, I tell you one thing, when I go home after Sunday night, I don't know about you, I'm full. It takes me time to wind down, does it to you? I mean, I'm kidding. I go home and I've got to have some wind down time. And so I don't go home. Now, some of you may can go home and just go right to sleep. But I've got to have wind, not wind, but I got to wind down. Hey, it's that scripture. What are y'all talking about? My stomach hurts. We're going to be scriptural about it. By the way, I can prove that in the Bible. Well, glory to God. What was I going to say before I got off on wine? Oh, that's what I know what I was going to say. Take your Bible. Psalm 73, Proverbs 11. Psalm 73 and Proverbs 11. I want to talk to you, church, tonight about the wisdom of counsel. The wisdom of counsel. Now, you're going to need your Bible tonight. We're going to turn to a lot of Scripture. And I want the message tonight to be informative, because I think so many of us, we get to a place to where we no longer think that counsel is important. And yet, the Bible talks all through Scripture about the importance and the wisdom of counsel. Do you find your place in Psalm 73 and Proverbs 11? Would you stand with me? Out of love and respect for the Word of God, Psalm 73 and verse 24. Then we'll look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 14. Psalm 73, verse 24, Proverbs 11 and verse 14. All right, Psalm 73, verse 24, if you have a King James Bible, this is the way it should read, like this. The Scripture says, "Thou shalt guide me," the psalmist says, "with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Now, it kind of sounds to me here that God is speaking of counsel very highly. He says, the psalmist says, "You will guide me with thy counsel." In other words, he says, "Lord, you'll guide me with the instructions from the Word of God that's going to help me and direct me in my life to conduct the things that God has commanded me to conduct from the Scripture." He says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel." Now look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 14. Proverbs 11 and verse number 14. "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I'm going to read that one more time. Remember in Psalm 73, the psalmist says that he will guide us by counsel, by the instructions given to us from the Scriptures. And then in Proverbs 11, verse 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Now, Father, we're grateful to be alive today. Thank you for the privilege of being in church in a free country where we can come and worship. We can open our Bible freely tonight and study from the Word of God about this subject, the importance, the wisdom behind counsel. Thank you again for your goodness throughout the day. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, many in the Old Testament got their counsel straight from the mouth of God. Now, God's not going to come down and speak to you and I audibly tonight, or in your private prayer closet tonight. He's not going to come down and speak to you audibly and give you counsel by mouth. But what He does do is He does use people to communicate counsel. Throughout the Scriptures, we find that He used prophets. He used people to communicate counsel. Now, we know from history, it's very evident throughout Scripture, we find out that God counseled Israel in multiple areas. The problem is, many times Israel refused God's counsel. Now, any time that God counsels us, whether whoever He uses, we need to follow that counsel. And I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. Any time that we do not follow spiritual counsel, it always leads to a place in life that we don't want to go. Always does. Because sometimes we think that we know better than God, or the man of God, or the church of the living God. But here in the New Testament, God puts people in our lives to give us counsel, advice, instruction. By the way, That counsel, that's what that means. It means advice or instruction upon request. For instance, if I go to someone for counsel, I'm going upon request from them to give me advice or give me instruction or direct me of how to conduct something in my life. That's what I'm going to them for. And so the Scripture is very plain that there is wisdom in counsel. Now, may I say to you that sometimes not all counsel is good counsel. You say, well, how do we know that all counsel is not good counsel? Well, let me take you to a couple of people in the Bible that went and got counsel that wasn't good counsel. Take your Bible, if you would, go to 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I think everybody, if I mentioned the name Absalom, that would ring a bell to most of us. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, as you know, Absalom has basically conspired against his father. David left the throne and left Jerusalem willfully. He wasn't forced out, he left willfully, because he knew if he had stayed to defend his throne, he was going to have to battle his own son and probably take his own life, take his son's life in order to remain king. But 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 23, if you'll find your place there. Absalom had a counselor. And did I say 1 Samuel or 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel, sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 16, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 16, because I just looked down at 1 Samuel 16:23, and that is not what I wanted to say. But Absalom had a counselor. His counselor's name was Ahithophel. Now, I want you to notice something here in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23, about this counselor, Ahithophel, that Absalom was depending on for counsel. In verse 23, it says, "And the counsel of Ahithophel, which being counseled in those days, which he counseled in those days, was if a man had inquired at the oracle of God." Now stop. In that day, this man's counsel was respected. They said it was though you went to the oracle of God. In other words, that you got it straight from the lips of God. That's what the counsel was respected of this man. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Now take your Bible, look at chapter 17 and verse 1. The scripture says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will rise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned. So all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time." You see, so not all counsel is good counsel. That's the reason that you've got to be careful who you seek counsel from. Because not everybody, they think they know, they think they have all the facts, they think they've got a word from God, but not all counsel is good counsel. Let me show you another place in Scripture where somebody got bum counsel. 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. This young man took over shortly after his father had passed away. This young man's name was Rehoboam. And Rehoboam became king. And in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse number 6, the scripture says, "But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Joash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house." And it goes on to say here in 2 Kings chapter number 12 that what we're looking at here is that God has given counsel to certain individuals. And Rehoboam decided that he is going to go and get counsel from the old men and the young men. Well, he got wise counsel from the old men. He got bad counsel from the young men. And guess whose counsel he took? Took the counsel of the young men. Big mistake. So Rehoboam got bad counsel. Now, can I ask you to take your Bible and go to Psalm chapter 1? Psalm chapter 1, if you would, please. I want you to notice something here that you and I need to take advice from in Psalm chapter 1. You'll recognize it. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I want you to notice there, underline that statement, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So I'm here to tell you tonight, church, that not all counsel that you seek after may be good counsel. That's the reason you need to make sure you know who you're getting counsel from. Now we're going to look at something here in just a moment that will help us. But you may say, okay, all right, Brother Todd, what's the benefits of counsel? I'm not an idiot. Well, nobody's claiming anybody to be an idiot, right? But everybody needs advice. We don't have all the answers. Now, I know this may shock you, but you know there's some people in this auditorium that's smarter than you are? Do you know they may have some counsel financially that you need? Do you know they may have some counsel medically that you need? Do you know they may have some counsel in some area that you and I need? You see, that's the reason the Scripture said that there's safety in the multitude of counselors. Now, take your Bible. Let's take a look at some Scripture here. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at some benefits of counsel. Some benefits of counsel. All right, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. Now, wisdom is crying out here. Wisdom is speaking. And wisdom says in verse 22, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. He says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Now I want you to notice the next statement he says is, because you brought to naught all my counsel, you ignored everything I told you, here's what wisdom says he will do when we reject counsel. He says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. He says, if you reject counsel and you don't seek counsel, or when you get it, you do nothing about it, he says, in the day of your calamity, I will laugh at you. You say, man, that's pretty harsh words. But you gotta understand, folks, we bring it on ourselves. I don't understand why we get so upset when we reject everybody that loves us. They're trying to give us advice and counsel. We push it to the side because we think that we know better than they do. And then what happens is we come in our day of calamity, and wisdom said, I'll laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. Take your Bible, if you would, go to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Now I want you to notice here some of the things that happen when we don't get counsel. Here, Proverbs 15, verse 22, Solomon says this, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. You ever made a decision that you probably should have got counsel about from somebody that knew about it, and then you got disappointed? You know how you can avoid disappointment in those areas? How about seeking advice from somebody? How about looking for somebody that might have a little more wisdom in those areas? He says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But here it is again. In the multitude of counselors, they are established. They're established. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says this, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. But did you notice in chapter 15, he talked about our purposes being disappointed when we don't get counsel. And then here it says, every purpose is established by counsel. So it sounds to me, folks of Trinity Baptist Church, and from this preacher to the pew, Everybody ought to be getting counsel. Everybody ought to be getting counsel. The reason that some of us today are in an absolute financial mess is because we didn't get counsel. The reason some of us are in a mess spiritually is because we didn't get counsel. The reason that some of our families and our marriages are not where they need to be is because we didn't get counsel. You see, I'm here to tell you that counsel establishes our purposes. Go to Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Here's another benefit of counsel. Hear counsel. Now stop right there. Remember Jesus in the New Testament says you have ears, but yet you hear not. You see, just because you have these on the side of your head don't mean you're listening. What he's talking about here, when he's talking about hearing counsel, he's not talking about hearing with your ear. He's talking about hearing with your spirit. That's what he's talking about here. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise. Now notice this, in the latter end. You see, the thing about it is, the counsel that I'm getting now, I may not need right now. I may need in the latter end. I may need later on in life. That's the reason, kids, look at me. Look right up here, teenagers and kids. That's the reason you need to listen to the counsel of your parents. Because you may not need it right now, but you listen to me, you will need it someday. And just about the time you think you don't need it, God's going to put you in a situation and He's going to bring to mind the counsel of mom and dad. And you're going to think, man, what did they say now? Let's see. What did they say? What did they say? What did they say? What am I supposed to do? Listen to counsel because it will be profitable in the latter end. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Turn back there. The scripture says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. Now that sounds great, but notice the next statement. But a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, I still have counsel in the well of my spirit that I got before I ever went in the ministry, because I had no idea what God was doing in my life before, prior to Him calling me into the ministry. So you know what I did? I had to go ask somebody, how do you know if God's calling you? Huh? How do you know if God's calling you to a mission field or what He's doing? I don't know if it's a burden or if it's a calling. Somebody help me. And I got counsel. I went to people and men, good men, pastors, and they begin to tell me, this is what God did for me. This is how God confirmed it in my life. Listen, I thought, man, life, this is good. And I wrote all that down. I said, you know what? It looks to me like the same thing God did with you, He's doing with me. So I just put two and two together and figured out He must be calling me to preach in. But you know, I'd never discern that unless I got counsel. And so, you know what I did? I got that counsel, and you know what? That counsel is still there, and I'm still, Brother Garner, drawing it out. The Bible says it's a wise man. It's a very knowledgeable man. It's an understanding man. Draws that counsel out that you get. And by the way, every time our pastor stands for this pulpit, you know what he's doing? He's counseling. Now, it sounds like preaching, but he's counseling. He's giving advice, instructions. And by the way, you know what? Every time we come here, you know what we're doing? We're asking Him to counsel us. That's when we come here, we're saying, preacher, counsel me. And so you know what he does? He opens the Word of God up, counsels every service. Problem is, we have ears, but we hear not. Let me give you one more verse. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. Okay, Proverbs 24 and verse number 6. It says, for by wise counsel Thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors, there it is again, there is safety. Does everybody like that? I like that word, don't you? I want to be safe. When I make decisions, I want to make safe decisions. When I do things in my life, I want to make decisions that I know for sure I've gotten counsel on. And the Scripture says it's in the multitude of counselors that there's safety. Now, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word counsel? You know what? I challenge you that to ask people, when you ask them, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when somebody says, you need counsel, or you should seek counsel? You know, I've been in ministry now over 22 years. And I jotted down some of the things that I've learned over the course of these years about counsel and how people think about counsel. First of all, I wrote this down. Some think that counsel is only for those who have problems. Oh, man. Oh, you need counsel. You must have problems. You know, going for counsel doesn't necessarily mean that you got problems. It may mean that if you don't get counsel, you will have problems. That may be what it means. And so some think that the only time that I should seek counsel is if I have problems. Some even view it as a sign of weakness. Oh, you're just, they look at it as a point that, you know what, if you go to counsel, you ain't got any sense. Oh, you know what? You're smart enough. You can figure this out. Hey, folks, there's a lot of things in life I can't figure out. I got to have somebody that's been around the corner a few times, don't you? That's been there. See, some people consider it an embarrassment. Oh, I can't go get counsel. That's embarrassing. Let me tell you something. If you don't, you're talking about embarrassment. That's where embarrassment comes, is when we don't get counsel. You see, some see it as a chance for someone, oh, I'm not going to get counsel because all they're going to do is just lord over me and they're going to point out all my faults. So they don't go get it. And then some that are wise will see it as a golden opportunity to gain knowledge and become wiser. And so they seek counsel. Church, can I say to you that the Bible is so strongly in favor of Christian counsel, and the benefits of good counsel, God tells us in Scripture, are priceless. And let me tell you how much emphasis God puts on counsel. He puts so much emphasis on counsel that Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, God even said one of His own names is called Counselor. I mean, that's how important it is. He even gave Himself the name of Counselor. See, we like Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, and man, we shout. But then He says, wait a minute now, I'm also Counselor. I don't know if I care about that name that much. I like Prince of Peace. See, we like those majestic names, and yet He calls Himself a Counselor. You see, church, if I knew something about everything and was an expert in everything I do, then I might be exempt from counsel. But you know what? I don't, and neither do you, know everything about everything. You know, probably one of the deficiencies as a Christian is our delay to seek counsel. Many times we go get counsel after the fact. Let me give you an illustration. It's like a person that never checks their oil. They just put oil in there and they just expect, I guess, that you check it every 100,000 miles. That's the warranty, you know. So many years, 100,000 miles, so that's when we check everything. So we put oil in it and we check it every 100,000 miles, whether it needs to be checked or not. About 40,000 miles or less, probably, into that, we're going down the highway and we hear this knocking sound. That man, what's that? Next thing we see smoke coming out from underneath the car. Then the knocking sound gets real loud. And then everything stops. We pull over to the side of the road, we get on the phone, call Brother Elmer. Brother Elmer, I don't understand. What happened? Smoke, noise, cracking, Stop. I'm on the side of the highway. What happened? When's the last time you put oil in that thing? Say that again. When's the last time you put oil in that thing? What's oil? Oh, you mean I got to put oil in this? You see, a lot of times we seek counsel after the fact. After it's too late. After the engine's blown. Then we seek counsel. Now, what I want to do quickly, church, if I could please, I want to give you just some general things about counsel, and I'm going to give you three areas of counsel, and then I'll be done. Let me give you a couple of things here. I want you to jot these down. We're going to look at a scripture verse with each one of these, and that's this. Just some general things to think about when it comes to counsel. First of all, number one, believers should first seek counsel from believers with expertise in their field. Let me say that again. Believers should first seek counsel from believers with expertise in their field. Take your Bible, if you would, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 20. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Do you understand that I need to find believers that have expertise in their field? By the way, I'll make one suggestion here. The first person on your list of expertise probably should be your pastor. Now, I'm just going to throw that out there. Probably should be, right? Now, I know that's a stretch, right? But I think the pastor is an expertise in his field. And yet, he is full of counsel. He's waiting to give counsel. Unfortunately, too many of us don't want counsel. We don't want it. You see, we should seek first counsel from believers with expertise in their area. Sometimes you'll go to the pastor and he is going to tell you, you know what, I don't have any expertise in this area. Let me refer you to someone that does have expertise. Now you listen to me. Respond to his referrals. Because he has people that he knows that has expertise in certain areas, and he will refer you to them. And we need to respond to his referrals. Because you know what? If he's going to counsel you, he's going to come back later and he's going to say, did you respond to my referral? Did you go and set up? Have you set up an appointment? Well, no, Pastor, but I'm going to. But you need to right now. You need to set up an appointment right now. When are you going to do it? Do you want me to do it? No, preacher, I'll do it. And he stays after us and stays after us and stays after us, and we never respond to his referral. Follow the advice you receive. Look down at verse 15 of Proverbs chapter 12. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Hey, folks, if I'm going to get counsel, I'm going to follow it. If I have faith and trust in that person, I'm going to follow that counsel if they have expertise in that area. All right, so the first thing is believers should first seek counsel from believers with expertise in their field. And the pastor ought to be at the top of your list. Number two, in order to benefit from counsel, you need to listen to this, this is very important. In order to benefit from counsel, you're going to have to align your will with the will of the counselor. Let me say that again. In order for you to benefit from counsel, you're going to have to align your will with the will of the counselor. Now, folks, listen. I'm not going to go and seek counsel from someone that I have no confidence in. I'm not going to go and seek counsel from someone that I don't believe has expertise in their field. I'm just not going to do it. But if I do go to a counselor, then you know what I need to do? I need to align my will with the will of the counselor. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, first of all, commit to listen to their whole presentation. Okay? What happens is we get right into it and they say one or two things that get our nose out of joint, and all of a sudden, you know what we do? Man, live, this is a 30-minute counsel session. We're only 10 minutes into this. Because they say one or two things we don't like. And normally, the one or two things they say that we don't like are probably true. That's the reason we don't like it. See, we don't like someone to say, now listen, you violated some biblical principles. What? I did what? Yeah, right here. Look here what you did. That's what I knew. I knew he was going to point out my faults. I knew it. That's the reason I hate counsel. Because all they ever do is point out my faults. No, he's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. You see, I've got to align my will with his will. So I got to commit to listen to the whole presentation. May I say to you that counsel never benefits a selective hearer? Never does. We go to a council meeting, and here's what we do. We think it's a buffet. We just take here. Oh, man, I like that. We'll put that in our pocket. A counselor will go on. No, 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 don't care for that. No, no, they'll say, oh, I like that. We become selective hearers. And then what happens is we take all the selective hearing that we've got our pockets filled with, and then what we do is we go and we try to put to practice only the parts we want. You know what that is? That's like going to the store and buying a puzzle. Just put together only the pieces you want to put together. You don't have to worry about all the rest of it. Only put the ones that are nice and pretty and colorful together. I hate the corner ones, don't you? They're boring. Only put together what you want, and guess what you're going to get? Nothing. That's what you're going to get. There's no picture. You've defeated your purpose. And folks, that's what happens when we don't seek counsel, or we don't listen, or we become selective hearers. May I say to you also, don't enter counsel with premeditated ideas or decisions. In other words, how many times have you heard our pastor say that so many people come in, they've already got their mind made up, and all they're doing is coming in wanting him to agree with them? Don't waste your counselor's time or your time if you've already made up your mind what you're going to do. I kind of like the preacher's idea. Charge $100 an hour. You say, man, that preacher shouldn't be charging $100 an hour. Well, you get your money back if you do what he tells you to do. Right? Hey, you do what he tells you to do, you get your $100 back. If you don't, him and mama go out to eat. Boy, you can eat pretty good for $100. I'm telling you, say, man, that's my money. Boy, I'm telling you, when you start messing with people's pocketbook, they perk up. Yeah, they perk up real well. Now, let me make another suggestion here. Park your pride at the door. Okay, park your pride at the door and don't attempt to challenge the counselor to agree with your philosophy. I talked to a preacher friend not too long ago. Someone came in for counsel. They had this. They didn't park their pride at the door. They brought it in with them. They got about 2 or 3 minutes of this, and all of a sudden this person was trying to argue with this pastor, trying to get the pastor to come over to their philosophy. He stood up, walked the door, said, get out. But pastor, get out. Don't you love me, pastor? Yeah, I love you. I'm telling you to get out. Because you already made your mind up. You're wasting my time, and you're wasting your time. And folks, if we've already got our mind made up, selective hearers, you're not going to benefit from counsel. Let me give you the third thing. And that's this. Realize that counsel is a blessing from God. Realize that counsel is a blessing from God. Now, if you'll do that, let me tell you what this will do for you. First of all, it'll put away the fear that counseling will view you as inferior. But you know, most of us are afraid of counsel. We're afraid to go get counsel because we don't want to be made to look inferior or foolish or like we don't know what we're doing. But the truth of the matter is, when I go get counsel, basically what I'm saying to that person is, I don't know what I'm doing. And if I'll admit that I don't know what I'm doing, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some help. Because I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be all ears. I'm going to listen to what they have to say. Be always in the spirit to learn and always have a desire to improve and excel. Now, let me give you these three things and I'm done. There's three basic areas that I find in Scripture. three areas of counsel. Take your Bible, if you would, go to the Gospel of Matthew. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. The first area of counsel that we need to be involved in is preventative counsel. Preventative counsel. Look in Matthew chapter 5. By the way, do you know that the majority of the Sermon on the Mount is preventative counseling? Go read it. It's basically what Jesus is doing. He's teaching and counseling his disciples. Trying to keep them from things happening in their life. Let me show you quickly some of it in his teaching and lessons to his disciples. Look at Matthew 5:21. He says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Did you see that what he's trying to do here is counsel his disciples? He said, "You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever kills will be in danger of the judgment." He said, "I say that whosoever is angry with his brother," preventative counseling. He's telling them that just anger in itself is wrong. Look down to verse 27. He says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." He says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Preventative counseling. He says, basically, watch your eyes, men. He is counseling to help them to prevent immorality. Look, if you would, go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 1. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." You know what he's doing? Preventative counseling. Look, if you would, in verse 15. Verse 15. "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." You know what he's telling them to look out for? Look out for these false prophets. Preventative counseling. You say, "Oh no, Jesus, how are we going to know who they are?" Look at the next verse. "You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" He goes on to say that by their fruits you shall know them. You know what he's doing? Preventative counseling. This would be the type of counsel, church, that I would get from a doctor or a dentist. If my dentist tells me I have, let's say, two or three cavities, and he feels them, he's going to give me some preventative counsel of how to avoid having more cavities. That's called preventative counseling. How many of you ever go to the drugstore? You go and pick your prescription up. There's a place where you go pick it up, and they say, "Now, if you'll meet the pharmacist right down here," and you go down there, and it says, what's it say over there? It says counseling, right? And so you go down there, it says pharmacist counselor or some type of counseling. So you go down there, and he counsels you about what you should do and what you should not do about this particular drug. Now, you can say, "Oh, it's pharmacist, I don't know nothing." All right, go ahead. Hey, we got several pharmacists in here. Brother Pham, just let them go ahead. Do it like you want to. Take five or six if you want to. No, you know what Brother Pham's job is? His job is he's counseling to preventative counseling. To let them know, this is what you cannot do. This is what you do. This is what you do. This is what you cannot do with this particular drug. Now, Preventative counseling, church, will help us avoid repeated failures of the past. You know, there's just sometimes that we ought to just go in and get counsel just for preventative measures. Hey, do you know something? Our pastor would be shocked if you just called him and say, "Preacher, you mind if I just set an appointment and come in and talk to you?" Well, yeah. Any particular reason? "No, I just want to come in and talk to you." Okay, sure, go ahead. So he sets an appointment, you go in and you just talk. "Preacher, what would you do if you was in this situation? What would you do here? What would you do?" All I'm saying to you, preventative counseling. We all need it. Step-by-step instructions, and it'll help us avoid repeated failures of the past. It'll also help us avoid making the same mistakes over and over again. You see, seeing the direction that others have gone, preventative counseling. Seeing how other Christians that were faithful at one time and they've dropped out, preventative counseling. You see, the counsel is available for the taking, but we've got to be willing to receive. We've got to apply the counsel that we get. So one sort of counsel that we need to be involved in on a regular basis is preventative counseling. Jesus was involved in preventative counseling with his disciples. Here's the second thing, positional counsel. Not only preventative counsel, but positional counsel. Now this would be the type of counsel that I would seek when I find myself in a precarious situation or at a crossroads in my life. For instance, years ago, my wife and I used to have the singles department of the church. We used to take several canoe trips a year. Now, my wife and I were never professional canoers. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure that my wife had ever been in a canoe. And one year we went down to the Guadalupe, down here in New Braunfels, and I don't know, it was probably a 10, 12 mile float down there, and they had some, you know, probably level 3, level 4 rapids and stuff, and they said, "Hey, have you ever been canoeing?" And I'm thinking, you know who you're talking to here. I know what a canoe is, and I know what a paddle is. You don't have to counsel me. Canoe, paddle, water, row, no big deal. "Fine, sir. See you at the end." So my wife and I get in the canoe. Down the Guadalupe we go. About, 2 or 3, 4 miles into the trip, my wife says, "Honey, what is that noise?" And I'm thinking, "I don't know, I've never been down this river before." And as we got further down the river, the louder it got. And the further we went, the louder it got. Until I could see, have you ever been canoeing or going down the river and the river's going out here and then it goes out there about 300 or 400 yards and you don't see it no more? We were in the canoe and I looked out there and I said, "Where's the river?" But the problem is, I was in a very precarious situation. I waited too long. Because by that time, the river had now begun to funnel to this noise. And my wife and I thought, "We're not going there. We're going to row to the shore." Boy, was that a mistake. You know what a canoe is like when you're sideways in a river that's moving toward this noise? Now, some of you in this room, Brother Muse, and some of the older singles, remember those canoe trips. My wife and I, we were paddling, trying to get through. We went over that falls sideways. Now, when I came up. Now, if you've ever been in a rapid, particular one of these little falls, and it was about, I don't know how far it was, but they have an undertow, and it's like a, you get up underneath that thing, and it just keeps flipping you and flipping you and flipping you and flipping you. And I'm going round and round. I thought, when am I coming up? Finally, I came up. I'm breathing, and I'm thinking, I'm getting to the shore. I'm thinking, wait, where's my wife? So I'm looking around. She bobs up, and I'm looking down the river. There goes my canoe. $500 now if you lose the canoe. And I'm thinking, shore or $500? I said, honey, you go to shore, I'm going after the $500. Now, all I'm saying to you, it's positional counsel. I was in a very precarious situation. You see, our position dictated that we needed help, right? I didn't navigate the river. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know anything about canoeing. But I certainly wasn't going to let them people think I didn't know anything about it. Now, that was just one of many canoe trips. I've been on a river at flood level before. And they said, listen, sir, we don't let people on this river when the river's this high unless they're professionals. My wife took one look at that river, and so did some of the other ladies, and they said, we're going back to shop. And all the rest of us knuckleheads went on a class 5 river at that time at flood stage. Positional counseling. Now, what that means simply is this, church, quickly, let me move quickly. Positional counsel just simply means to walk you through a major decision or a crisis in your life. You seek counsel, pastor, counselor, I'm in this position, what do I do? That's what positional counsel is. Don't wait too late. If you hear the noise, go to shore. Don't wait till you get right at the edge and say, oh boy, we made a mistake. And go over the side. You see, that positional counsel just walks you through major decisions or crisis in life. Listen to me. If you're a first-time home buyer, you've never gone through the process, you know what you need to do? You need to seek counsel from somebody that's gone through that before. If you're a young person, you've never purchased a car before, you know what? You need to seek counsel before you go through that thing. Hey, I'm just saying to you, just positional counsel just makes sense. Do you know that Jesus' disciples, Luke chapter 11, told him, said, Lord, would you teach us to pray like John taught his disciples? We're in a situation where we're just not sure how to do this. Would you teach us? And he did. Do you know they came to him in Matthew 24 and said, Lord, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Sit down, guys. Talk to you about that positional counseling. Remember Matthew 13, he talked about the sower and the seed. What does it mean, Lord? Okay, let me tell you what this means. Positional counseling. That kind of counsel also will guide you toward the perfect will of God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. If I hadn't gotten some positional counseling before, there's no telling where I'd be. There's probably no telling where you would be if you hadn't got some counsel in this particular area. Let me give you the last thing. Turn to John 21, and that is provocative counsel. Okay? John 21, just turn a few Gospels over. John chapter 21, verse 15. Okay, John 21, verse 15. I want you to listen to the words of Jesus here. He says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Kind of sounds like provocative counsel. You know what he wants? He wants an answer. He is provoking him to an answer. Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. You know, sometimes we need to go in for counseling to be provoked to do something for God. This is the type of counsel that is initiated by another on my behalf and for my well-being. Sometimes the preacher may initiate the counseling session. You know, the thing about it is, I want my pastor, if he sees something in my life that's maybe disturbing, you know what? I want him to say something about it, don't you? It's like going to the doctor. Hey, if he detects a disease in my body, I kind of want him to say something about it, don't you? I don't want him not to say anything about it and let it go on and on and on until it's out of hand. You see, this type of counsel sometimes gets confused as being judgmental. Because we don't want anybody to say that we're not doing anything. But yet sometimes we need provocative counseling. You see, sometimes we need it to call our attention to a matter in our life that needs to be addressed. Anybody need an area in your life that needs to be addressed? You say, do you, Brother Todd? Sure do. Every morning I wake up, you know what needs to be addressed in my life? Everything, basically. Because I slept overnight. I wake up the next morning in a new world, just like you do. And all during the night, you know what? While I'm asleep, that old depraved flesh is being resuscitated while my spirit sleeps. Right? You see, this type of counsel will help us to see the forest in spite of the trees. You know, most of us, we go to counsel, someone points us out, and we think, huh? What are you pointing at over there? This. Some of us, we can't see the forest for the trees. It's because we're oblivious to the obvious. And sometimes provocative counsel brings that to our attention. And let me say lastly, and that's this. Provocative counsel is with love and tender care. And sometimes there's a little bit of rebuke that comes with it because of deliberate wrongdoing. That's the reason, young people, that mom and dad sometimes, they can sit down with you at the table and counsel you in just a few moments over an issue that needs to be changed. Sometimes the issue is so great they can't counsel by sitting down at the table. They have to kind of counsel in other ways. And by the way, folks, you can deny it, people can deny it all they want, but you know, the Bible teaches corporal punishment. Now you say, I don't believe that. I'm sorry. But sometimes, you know what? When you have to take your children and spank them biblically, you know what you're doing? You're counseling them. That's what you're doing. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is there's wisdom in counsel. We're either going to seek it or we're not going to seek it. Preventative, positional, provocative. We all need all three. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're here tonight. You say, Brother Todd, no for sure. No question, I'm saved. I've been born into the family of God. Would you slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Already been saved. No question about it. I know that heaven's my home. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. Maybe you're visiting with us. You say, preacher, I'm just not for sure that heaven's my home. I've never taken time out for anyone to ever explain to me what it means to be saved. But boy, I sure would like to. But I just don't know for sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that, just slip your hand way up high. Maybe there might be one like that that you just do not know that heaven's your home. God bless you. We've got a few kids that are raising their hand asking questions. And I'm all for that. Anybody else? All right, put your hands down. Anyone else here tonight, you say, preacher, I'm already saved, but I need to be baptized. Never been scripturally baptized after I've been saved, but I know it's the right thing to do. Need to do that. Anybody like that? Slip your hand way up high. Anybody like that? All right, then with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you the main question here tonight for us as a church at Trinity Baptist Church. How many of you say, Brother Todd, I've got to admit I'm guilty. I kind of shy away from counsel. I kind of shy away either because of embarrassment, either because I've been guilty of pride. Maybe I probably thought I had all the answers in a particular area. But I'm going to start really seeking biblical counsel. I'm going to start seeking it in preventative matters, in positional matters, in provocative matters. And I'm going to start seeking counsel from people that I have faith and trust in, believers that I have faith and trust in. For there is safety in the multitude of counselors. Say, Brother Todd, I haven't been practicing this part of my Christian life, but boy, I'm going to start because I know I don't have all the answers. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody look around. I mean, say, Brother Todd, that's been a weakness in my area, whether it be embarrassment, whatever it may be. Doesn't matter what the explanation is, no matter what the excuse is, but say, I've really, really not sought counsel like I should in multiple areas of my life, but I'm going to start seeking godly counsel. Slip your hand way up high with mine. Way up high. Say, that's me, that's me, that's me. God bless you. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you. All right, you can put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else? You said, just hadn't been seeking it, whether it be preventative, whether it be positional. Maybe you're in a situation. Maybe you're afraid. Listen, don't be afraid of your pastor. Go to him. He loves you. He cares for you. And listen, if he doesn't have the answer, he's going to refer you to someone that can help you. Don't be afraid of counsel. Now, Father, you've seen the hands. I pray for those that raised their hand for whatever matter tonight that this altar would be open. They would come tonight and commit that in their life. Lord, counsel is so important. And yet we shy away from it for so many different reasons. Lord, we shouldn't be embarrassed. Many times when, because we all make mistakes, we all do things, Lord, and make decisions that maybe hinder our family or hinder our job or hinder our finances. Lord, we need to seek wisdom through counsel for help in those areas. Move in our hearts and our lives in this invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? As we stand, if you raise your hand, would you make available the opportunity to come to the altar tonight?